Welcome to this episode of the EVR podcast, where we put our shining new expectations against the jagged rocks of reality, and often at times have those expectations smashed to little bits. In this episode, I'm going to start off by complaining about Destiny 2, and my friends on the podcast are going to sell me on some of the games they've been playing this year to heal my broken heart.
And the names of these friends.
You guys know your own names. I'm Jeremiah.
I am Max.
This is Luke.
This is Justin.
And Alex.
And we are EVR. So, Destiny 2 came out in the fall of 2017, September specifically, and it's honestly been a brief uptake in positivity, followed by a continuous downward spiral of disappointment and negativity. Even the most hardcore fans of Destiny 2 are now abandoning the ship, because the captain is driving it straight towards an iceberg, and everybody keeps saying there's an iceberg, and the captain's like, no, it's fine.
Is the captain not letting people onto the floating door either? Like, they're just
taking off into the ocean? You're free to get on the boat whenever you want. It's just the captain just keeps driving that boat towards towards that iceberg.
It's gonna cost you.
And keeps charging you for extra ticket to get closer to that iceberg.
Yikes.
All kinds of controversy. Misstep after misstep. Bungie, a legendary studio once known for Halo, a game that revolutionized the first-person shooter genre.
And before then, Marathon.
And Marathon, another good game that Bungie is known for making.
That's a good game.
Is now the laughingstock of the FPS genre because they keep messing up this whole games-as-service idea that they thought was a good idea, but ended up being a bad idea.
They're like one loot box behind EA right now.
Good idea, bad idea. Good idea. A game that constantly evolves, I can constantly play throughout the year. Bad idea. Dividing that game into DLCs that you release like 2 weeks after the game comes out on a specific console. Bad idea.
Yeah.
So, Destiny 2, man. It's a game that tries to be an RPG and falls flat on its face because none of its customization options actually matter.
Yeah.
Its gameplay is boring. It's player versus player, or PvP section of the game that kept Destiny 1 alive, is now hemorrhaging players because it's not fun to play against other players. It's really, really boring, really slow, and there's no wow factor in anything it does. So this is the part where some of my friends tell me about the games they're playing to heal my broken heart, to make me believe in the game industry once again after the plight of EA. And we're going to start with Max.
Before I go into mine, I just got to ask, like, was there anything about Destiny 2 that you enjoyed? Like, besides that first 20 minutes or whatever it was?
Well, just like Destiny 1, actually shooting a gun feels good. The actual shoot-shoot part of
pew
Destiny,
pew.
The pew-pew part of Destiny feels good. It's very satisfying whenever you get those critical shots. But beyond that, everything just feels worse than Destiny 1. Even the movement feels weird, because they took out features that allowed players to move faster. They intentionally removed them. There's no freedom of movement. There's less freedom of movement, I should say.
Do you think it would have helped Bungie if they would have done something similar to Overwatch, where all the like purchases you make are all from cosmetic items? Or is, like, 'cause I've heard similar dislike for Destiny 2 from other sources, but it seems like most of it's rooted in the fact that you're paying for this DLC that feels like it should just already be part of the game.
It's a mixture of things, because I'm okay with cosmetics being, you know, locked behind a paywall or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's the only place where they are. Is the only cool cosmetic stuff is in the microtransaction store, and that sucks for a game that's a looter shooter. A looter shooter without loot is just a shooter, and that's not what I bought Destiny for.
That's fair.
You are taking half the game away from me, and it's kind of infuriating.
That's fair. Jeez.
It'd be like if you played Diablo and they just gave you gear, or you had to buy it.
Yeah.
Like the auction house. That's why it's like the auction house out of Diablo 3, because you can just buy gear.
There you go.
Instead of having to like go earn it.
Yeah.
There have been other loot games before Destiny, but those loot games nailed their loot. That's
Borderlands
what made
too.
Them good.
Or the Borderlands series in general.
Yeah, the Borderlands franchise is good.
It had loot, and it had guns that were interesting to use.
Hilarious.
Does not exist in Destiny. They're
a
not
a gun
fun.
That shoots swords is cool.
Yes.
They're not. There's very little fun factor in Destiny when you start digging into it. It's just, it's all the same thing over and over again, and that gets really, really boring after 2 weeks.
Fair enough.
Question. Did Peter Dinklage have any lines that were removed in this one?
I want Peter Dinklage back, actually.
I had no problems with Dinklebot. I thought he was really Dinklebot. Good. That's what they call him, Dinklebot.
He was monotoned and snarky. That was great. I wanted that ghost. The little partner thing you run around with and talks for you. Oh, it's also an RPG, and your character doesn't talk. Your little ghost partner thing talks for you. That's really annoying to me.
Yeah, I've watched Destiny a little bit, and because my fiance is playing it, and she's enjoying it, but she just diehard Halo fan, so she just loves anything Bungie puts out. But the story, from what I've seen, it's just like this seems like last decade kind of storytelling.
It's there, it exists, yeah. Unlike the first one.
Fair.
So
got him.
Everything I learned from the first one, they just threw it out the window, put more story in.
Basically, pretty much. There's a rumor going around that they actually rebooted development of Destiny 2 like 16 months ago.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh,
so that's why it's a flaming trash shithole.
For the sake of our listeners, Justin's eyes just got really huge because even he knows.
That's not
that's
a lot.
Insane.
Of
that's insane.
That's an extremely short amount of time to just start over.
Yeah.
Especially for a AAA game.
Especially a game that's supposed to have like an RPG element to it.
I don't care how many people you have at your disposal or teams or man hours. That's not enough time for a full-fledged game.
Especially a looter shooter that needs loot in it.
Yeah.
Now, more diverse and unique loot.
Yes.
Now, what about like the actual customization options that makes RPG games more fun? Being able to pick out how your dude looks or like specific traits and stuff like that, skill trees or whatever.
The look of all of your options are cool. You can look really cool in this game. I will give it that. It looks really good, but there's nothing to it. I can't really customize what any of my gear does, and even if I do, it makes very minimal, almost non-existent changes. Like, there's a perk where you can get bonus ammunition to your magazine. Now, you'd think, if I say that, you get maybe 30 rounds.
It's like
40 rounds. It's like one bullet. One extra bullet. Two extra bullets.
What?
Two, an assault rifle.
That's
it doesn't
there's
matter.
There's no reason for that.
Maybe is it like matter. A percentage? Like,
no.
We
don't
get 10% extra rounds to a 30-round mag is still, that's like, what, 3?
The descriptions are frustratingly vague as well. They don't give you any percentages. They don't give you any numbers. It's just this arbitrary bar that goes up and down.
Hmm.
And you have to try and guess, like, how much of this bar equates to an actual physical number.
How many of the people that originally made Halo are still on the team for this?
That's a good question.
Or is this a whole new team with new people with new ideas that are like, oh, hey, they got by on Halo. Since people, it's the same company, people are going to buy this too.
A lot of the key Halo people actually stayed with what is now called 343 Studios.
They're
still making Halo.
I was wondering.
So there's
the rest
a lot of new
it's essentially
there.
Not even the
it's
same
not,
company.
No. It's not even the same company anymore.
Ugh. Yikes.
Did you play any shooters recently that are better than it? Like, shooting-wise, is it still one of the better, like,
mechanically
feel unique
sound.
Doing it or anything like
Doom.
That?
Doom is amazing.
Doom is really unique.
I literally just beat it, like, a month ago, and it was amazing.
I did play a little bit of Battlefield 1. I did try a little bit of Call of Duty.
Which Call of Duty?
World War II. Call of
I've heard
Duty
it's
World
good.
War II. Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, and those feel good to shoot, too. Nothing feels quite like Destiny. I like the way Destiny feels whenever you're shooting your gun. It's just nothing happens beyond me pulling the trigger.
Yeah.
I can't customize anything. I can't have my gun do something sick like it. There's no space magic. It's a game about space magic, and they took all the space magic out of it.
Actually, I heard World War II feels like a generic knockoff World War II game. Like, it doesn't feel like the old school Call of Duty games.
Hmm.
Is
Wait, are we? Yeah. What are we talking old school here? Like Black Ops or
no,
like OG
World War
Two,
Call of Duty Two?
Those were the days.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the
days
system,
of infamy, you might say.
The system for the gunplay in that game wasn't nearly as advanced as the systems we have now.
True. True.
So of course, it's not going to
be
the same.
And there's less stuff going on,
kicks and things like that,
recoil
and stuff like that.
Yeah. But back then, though, that snow got in your face, and now it looks like just a pixelated mess.
Yeah.
And the story of Destiny 2 is kind of pointless. The whole gimmick was, you're super powerful at the end of Destiny 1. Destiny 2 starts, you get all of it taken away. That's rectified within the first, like, 30 minutes.
So it pulls a Metroid.
There you go. You never feel powerless, which is dumb, because the whole point of the game, at least story-wise, was to experience what powerlessness is.
Okay.
But you get your powers back within the first, like, 30 minutes. So it doesn't even count.
So I was going to say, what's, like, the theming of the story?
I don't even think they know.
What do you have to play for? Like, what's pushing you to get to the next area, to find the next thing, to if you get it back so quickly?
After you get done with the story, it's like getting your stuff back. Like, they kick me out of my home, I'm going to kick him in the teeth, which is fine.
Okay, all right.
So I got to get the A-team together. But there's no room for it to just get its message across. Like, you can kind of see what they were going for, but they didn't stick with it.
And really lastly, before we move on, what are you expecting from Destiny now?
I'm expecting the same thing that happened with Destiny 1, where it's going to be a garbage game until maybe the end of this year or halfway through next year.
When they put out their, Forgotten King or whatever expansion?
Whatever they're going to call it. I really don't care at this point what they call it. That might revive the game, quote unquote, but the damage is done. They keep messing up, too. Like, it's been mess up after mess up after mess
up. So it's kind of been a similar thing as, like, For Honor, minus the bugs.
Yeah.
Like, For Honor was super big when it first came out, and now it's got, like, a few thousand people playing it, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it more closer to what EA did with Battlefront 2?
I'd say it's not. It's not that bad.
Oh, okay.
It's not that bad.
This is just a trash fire. That's a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
It's like you're dealing with this kid that keeps messing up.
At light speed.
And when they first start, like, you're always, like, saying, you can do better and you can do better. Because you care about them. But at some point, you stop caring. And you just let them play in the mud by themselves. Whatever. I don't have to waste my time.
I really get what you're saying. That makes... Good job.
So, Jeremiah, what you're telling me is you want an RPG that is visually stunning.
Yes.
You want an RPG that has an actual story.
Yes, please.
You want an RPG that makes you feel like you have customization options, make you feel like you're having an actual impact on the gameplay.
I don't think that's too much to ask.
I don't think so either. That's like a game that you should look into would be Persona 5.
Ooh, what is this Persona 5 that I have not heard of?
Persona 5 is a JRPG from Atlus. Most people have heard of Atlus, at least. Persona series.
They did Snowboard Kids a long time
ago. Nintendo 64. I didn't know they did that. Oh,
they
right.
also did Etrium Odyssey.
Yes, they did that. They also did Catherine.
You can see that in the art style.
Absolutely.
They've done a lot of 3DS games, too.
Yes. But this is their latest installment in the Persona series, which is, you can make an argument, is their most popular series. And this is the first installment I actually played. Okay. So a little background on me. I worked at GameStop a few months ago, and I had never played Persona before, but I was looking for a game to try. A bunch of people were coming in recommending it to me. And I won't lie. I looked at it. I was like, this is a waifu game. This is dumb. I'm not playing this. It looks really, really dumb. But more and more people whose opinion I trusted came up to me and was like, Max, you need to play this. Max, try this game. Give it a shot. So I just finally did, and it is the best RPG I've played since Final Fantasy X. And
it's a bold statement, sir. Not saying you're wrong, but it is a very bold statement.
It is a bold statement. I stand by it. And it's just a game that completely blew my mind. The art style is phenomenal. I'm not an artistic person, but I appreciate what they do. There are, like the load screens, they've made it so that it's just, like, such a smooth transition. It's not, like, that's...
You don't feel like you're just waiting for the next scene. You're playing the next scene while you're loading.
Yeah, absolutely. And they've taken such simple things like communicating with your party members and make it just so much more involved than just a basic cutscene. It's
you're just gonna sit there pressing A the entire time.
No, not even that at all. And you can, there's so many different diverse dialogue options, and the gameplay is just so smooth. And the customization, because you want customization, every party member has different abilities that they can bring to the fight. And Alex here is covering his ears, so he doesn't want spoilers. Don't worry about your spoilers.
That's a pretty basic JRPG thing.
Yeah, they took a bunch of basic JRPG elements, brought them all, and just added some unique and amazing spice I've never had experience in a game before. It was phenomenal. Like, you can ask my roommates, that game consumed my life for an unhealthy amount of time.
True.
As most JRPGs that are good will do.
But this one, it kind of blew my mind, and it just opened my eyes to a whole other, like, I've gone back and started playing some of the other Personas, and truthfully, it's the best game I played this year, and it's not even close.
Sounds like a good gateway drug.
It's very much a gateway
drug. What I'd like to mention is, fans of the series haven't had to wait as long as Kingdom Hearts, but the last one released in July of 2008.
Yes.
So, 9 years between games. That's a
long
time.
There was a really popular remake of Persona 4, which a lot of people actually think, like, some people are starting to say Persona 5 is the best, but most people are like, oh, Persona 4. They had a remake called Persona 4 Golden that was put on the PS Vita. Yes, that still exists. And it also had an anime made after it as well, which Persona 5 actually has an anime coming out later this year.
Nice. Excited to watch that?
Yes, you need to beat the game before I let you watch it.
Spoilers.
But, like, if you just want a game that has phenomenal gameplay, phenomenal story, and just smooth animation, I can go on about this game for a long time, but you really should give that one a shot.
Feel like you're playing an anime.
Yeah, you're feeling like you're playing an anime. And even if you don't like anime and just like a good game and good gameplay, good RPGs, Persona 5 is the best game to play.
You mean a studio took established things in their genre and applied them very well and pushed them to the next level?
Yes.
That is a novel idea.
I agree. It's almost like companies should do that more often.
I know, right?
What's interesting is after a success, too, they waited 9 years to release another success instead of next year releasing another game,
and
which was the same.
Actually, if I may, just like as like a thank you to their fans, considering we're talking about like Bungie giving their fans the shaft, Persona 5 was supposed to come out a couple years ago, but they've kept pushing it back because they want to put out a quality game. They, even though we're well into the PS4 era, they actually released it on PS3 as well. They obviously had to dumb down the graphics a little bit as well, but it was kind of like, everyone, we told you this was going to come out on PS3, and we're holding true to our word. And it was released on PS3.
It's a class act.
I don't think that hurt their sales at all either.
No, it didn't. I'm obviously no longer with GameStop, but when I left, the PS3 used copies were actually selling for more than PS4 copies. So
I'm just waving to Luke.
That's funny. What?
Just saying hi.
Oh, hey, what's up?
Hey,
so, how's it going?
I've been quiet for a little bit. I just wanted to say hi.
Yeah, okay.
I know. I'm not.
No, you're good. It's your floor. It's your floor. I'm enjoying listening to it.
It is a very particular game and has a certain following, but they did sell, it states, 2 million copies by the beginning of December of last year. So that's pretty good for a very focused.
It's a niche title.
It released last year?
It released in February, I believe, of last year. So it's coming up. It's been out for 11 months.
To be fair, I've heard a lot of it was a Game of the Year contender up against Breath of the Wild.
Yep. A lot of
people were saying either one of those they would have been fine with.
Breath of the Wild was just. It's Zelda on the Switch. Yeah. Like, let's be honest.
That one because of its name.
Well,
I can't argue with
Breath
that.
Of the Wild also switched up.
That switched was an accidental pun.
A lot of things that Zelda was getting stale for.
That being said, Persona 5 did win a lot of Game of the Year awards. Soundtrack of the Year. The soundtrack, the music's amazing.
Yeah, fantastic.
And also, it did win RPG of the Year. Yeah. Granted, its competition was Destiny 2, so that's really not saying much.
Wait, Destiny 2 is miscategorized. It's not an RPG. There's no role-playing.
People might disagree with me on this, but I think the music in Breath of the Wild sucked.
Oh, wow.
Interesting. I'll have to listen to it.
There's like, any of the tunes that you know aren't in this game. Nothing.
Yeah. Like,
at the end, like, when you're going to the castle, you'll recognize that song. But, I mean, you can hear hints, maybe. But it's like super slowed down, and it's just not the same.
Like, not even like Easter egg ones or anything like that. Because, like, I know, for example, Final Fantasy 15, there was like one of the characters like kind of like hummed the classic victory theme, even though they moved well away from that.
Nice.
Like anything like that.
I mean, nothing's coming to mind at the top of my head. I'm sure listeners can say something, but it's just that was my most disappointment out of it.
The music of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's such good tunes in some of those older games.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
But being of creative mindset for Persona, it is amazing. Just the transitions between the anime, the fighting, the in-game, to the flat art is just amazing, and how they compose it is just very unique. It's a lot of thought put into that.
Yep, and it's one of the best stories ever. So.
I'll find out later.
As I
And continuing on the trend with RPGs, gonna put this out here. Don't judge what people say about it, But Mass Effect Andromeda is actually pretty good.
Well, they patched it.
Yeah, they patched it all up. I mean, even with the weird bugs or whatever, and I never really ran into many of those that were like game break. I think I fell through the world once.
Which is not bad for an EA game, actually.
Well, I mean, BioWare game, too. But never mind the animation bugs or weird stuff like that. That was like you overlooked all that once you get like diving into the story of the game and stuff like that, and just how different all the planets and the environments and stuff are. Like there's like I hate the snow because snow sucks, but there's a snow planet there that's like, it just looks awesome. Like you stand at the top of one of the mountains, you just look over the landscape and you're like, holy shit, this is cool. And then there's another planet that's essentially a real dense, lush jungle, and that's super cool too, and like you can see like all the life and stuff around it. And then
it's almost like Avatar.
Yeah It's really crazy.
I mean, there's an RPG out there that takes place in space and is science fiction and allows dialogue wheels where I can have conversations with NPCs.
Well,
golly gee willikers.
You put it that way. No, but I mean, like, customization options, you can do whatever you want to your character's face, essentially their hairstyle. You can put tattoos on them, you can put scars on them.
Do you see their face in conversation?
Yes, there are options to turn the helmets off, turn it's the helmet on when mind, you're outside, man. It's super intense, man. In terms of like weapons and stuff, you can use whatever weapon you want. You can use nice. Any skill attributes you want. You can literally be someone who has the strongest guns but throws magic for all intents and purposes. I use that word magic, although it's called bionics. Yes.
And I'll be honest, I've only logged like a whole hour and a half in the Mass Effect series as a whole. This one is like, it's in the same world, but it's separate from 1 through 3.
Correct. In the Mass Effect trilogy, 1 through 3, you are fighting for Earth. This takes place
in the Milky Way.
500 years after that in another system. Yeah, and they leave. Space travel. They actually leave Earth around the end of the second one, and they travel for 500 plus years to get to this next system, the Andromeda system, and they try to establish essentially a new life for these, how many colonists was it, 10,000 or something?
I mean, there's a science fiction RPG out there.
Well, there was several arcs that was carrying all the different species.
Yeah, right.
Which is interesting. This is not a spoiler because Mass Effect 3 came out March of 2012, but what I loved about the game is as you're going through Andromeda, you're hearing tidbits of coming from the original system, Milky Way, and it's talking about what happens in Mass Effect 3. And if you haven't played that, you won't understand what that's coming from. So it still gives tribute to the original people that played the first trilogy.
There's a couple of names from the original trilogy that pass through logs and stuff too. It's really cool.
So you mean a sequel in a series. Has callbacks to earlier titles?
Did I mention you can color your armor?
Wow.
But no, the story is really good. There's a lot of really cool characters in it, and the environment, it's a really pretty game. Never mind the slight issues it had at launch. They've pretty much been fixed now. It's still a solid game. I put like 40-something hours in this game. I still haven't beat it yet. So if you're looking for longevity in a game, there you go.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll admit this is one I was disappointed about because the expectation when they announced it was hundreds of worlds you'd be able to visit.
Yeah.
But they couldn't get their system to randomly generate the worlds and the fauna and the flora correctly, so they narrowed it down to actually like 7 or 8, which is a little disappointing because they kept pulling back and they said, hey, it's going to be less.
Well, I mean, those were I'm going to call quest planets where the story had really big influence on, whereas if they had a bunch of other just randomly generated planets, they'd probably just be like bullshit stuff, like side missions, go to this randomly generated planet we just made now.
Probably similar to what the New World of Warcraft expansion is going to do with the islands that you can go visit. They'll just be randomly generated instances that you do and you get some loot from it.
Was this before or after No Man's Sky?
After.
This is after.
Wait.
I think it was about the same time.
No Man's Sky was 2016?
I think it was about the same time.
I remember.
Pretty similar. Andromeda came out, was it last year?
It was last year.
It was last year.
Yeah, so
around March, I want to say.
But they were developing it probably before No Man's Sky. They've probably been sitting on it for 3-ish years in the development process. Well, that was probably mostly for the RNG.
It released in March.
But if you like blue chicks, there you go.
I'm blue.
No Man's Sky actually released in August of 2016.
Holy crap.
So and it about was 6 months also before.
Disappointing.
Yeah.
That one was I wanted to
try. Overhyped.
That's overall, I agree. Andromeda was, even though I was expecting so much because of what they originally stated, you can't hold on to what people originally say things about.
Right.
You have to build your own opinion for yourself.
I would say if you can find it on sale, definitely pick it up because it's a pretty solid game. Don't worry about the multiplayer because Mass Effect's never been known for quality multiplayer.
Story.
It's pretty bland and uninteresting. Unless you like Horde mode.
I'd say I've actually more than doubled what Luke's played and I have beat the game.
Wait. You mean there's a science fiction RPG out there that takes place on multiple planets that has aliens you can fight, and it includes a Horde mode?
They don't patronize me, fool.
They also try to kill you and take your light.
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't know about that one.
Not exactly light, but they just want to take your race. It's fine.
Hmm. Horde mode, a novel idea.
all these novel ideas.
I can count like the number of times I actually played multiplayer on my hand. One hand, so like five times.
He's holding four fingers up.
No, it's fine. I think it was like five times.
Can't read or count.
Nope. Or save files.
It's okay.
Oh,
we're an open.
He made the joke.
Podcast.
But yeah, if you can find it on sale, definitely pick it up. Unfortunately, they're not going to support it anymore, except for multiplayer, because that makes sense. But yeah, I would say if you find it on sale, definitely look into it.
Well, I'm definitely curious.
Because it looks really, really nice, and it plays really well, and it handles really well, too. Like, I don't know.
I think I know the answer, but I still want to ask the question, do you think there'll be an expansion or a second one for this?
I would like there to be, but there probably will. Maybe another 7 or 8 years down the line.
All hands on Anthem.
Yeah, that's probably it. Which, I mean, if Anthem plays that well as it looks in the trailer, announcement thing at the PlayStation thing or whatever, then it'll be fine.
Now, some of you might be wondering where our friend Justin is. Justin, hi. Ollie oxen free.
Real quick before that, there are reports that Mass Effect Andromeda was a financial success, though.
Oh, that's good.
It made its money.
Yeah. Well, that's all we want.
So it did gross $200 million in 25 days, actually. That's surprising.
Well, that was like the initial launch, though, wasn't it?
Yeah. So hopefully we'll hear from BioWare on that, but we shouldn't expect any DLCs for it.
Well, Jeremiah said Oxenfree, and I know I've been talking about Oxenfree, and I can get to that in a minute, but with how everyone was talking about skill trees and leveling up and different weapons, I've found the solution to all your problems, Jeremiah.
Dark Souls.
Preach unto me. Oh, preacher named Justin.
You just need to buy a Switch first.
Oh, from the Church of the Switch. They're trying to convert
you need
me.
To buy Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle.
Ooh.
This game is unlike any game I've ever played before.
Or just buy XCOM 2 on Steam for half off.
This is pretty... It's, well, I don't know about prettier. I don't... It's colorful. And it's Mario-centric.
Like colors are enjoyable.
It literally mashes the two worlds together, though. That's the whole beginning of the game, is there's this object that mashes two different things together. I'm trying to think of what she's using it for at the beginning.
While you're thinking about it, so you're saying it's combining two different genres together.
And doing it efficiently?
Yeah.
And they actually consider player interaction and player actions in all their decisions?
It's hard, too.
Wow, it's like they know how to design games.
And it's hard.
There's difficulty?
And it's a Ubisoft game. Nintendo was hands-off. Let them do their own thing. Nintendo gave Ubisoft one rule. We make Mario jump. You're not allowed to have Mario jump. So you can't. You're not playing as Mario in the game. You're playing as this little disc with bunny ears. Everyone just follows you.
That's a technical.
Yeah.
I like that.
And tons of weapons. There's kind of a few characters. They're adding Donkey Kong here in the next few months.
Nice.
With some story mode, I believe so.
Better the strongest
if
ever.
They're charging. They haven't announced a price point. There's a good amount of enemy variations. The fields that you fight in are really well thought out. There's you can be up on top and shoot down. You can shoot back up at people that are on cliffs. You can hide behind cover. There's a whole cover system.
I'm assuming they offer strategic benefits for being in cover and having the high ground.
Oh, yeah. Some cover only covers you 50%. Other cover is wide open.
So what you're telling me is this colorful game designed for children in mind has depth of combat and strategy.
It does.
Interesting. A novel concept.
Yeah. A very fun game.
It doesn't try to steal your life.
I'm still learning the curve. There's times where I just get completely slaughtered because I wasn't thinking about it the right way.
And this game, built for children, actually involves challenge?
Yes. I think it's definitely more than just children
for. You would say there's a lot of trial and error to it?
Extremely, extremely.
If you grow to like that style of gameplay, Luke referenced it. The XCOM series is another one to look into.
Yeah.
From what I've seen, the combat's basically XCOM or XCOM 2.
Yeah.
XCOM is one of the most difficult strategy games I've ever played, but it's so rewarding. It's very satisfying gameplay.
I am XCOM. Fire Emblem fan, so
Fire Emblem's good. As well,
I do like strategy,
but XCOM is aliens. So.
XCOM's pretty unforgiving, though, right?
It can be.
If your people die, they're dead.
Yeah, you can set up an Iron Man mode where it's like auto saves.
Yeah.
So basically, like, they're dead. It's like you can't just load up. They're gone.
Yeah. So Mario be rabbits if you lose a round. You just start back from right before.
Okay.
So you can heal. You can have protective shields. You can run the one character and they'll shoot you across to another space on the other side of the map.
Combos.
Characters like Mario, if you jump on them, he can actually, that's kind of funny because he jumps in battle. Maybe it's just out of battle. Nintendo didn't want him to jump, but he can do a double jump. So he can go to one character, that character can jump him to another character, and then he can land somewhere else in the map. So,
you know, a lot of people like to make jokes about Nintendo and all, but they actually can combine Mario with different genres quite well. Like, one of my favorite Super Nintendo games was Super Mario RPG.
Yeah.
A lot of people like that.
Yeah.
And, like, we all love Sega or Super Strikers or whatever it's called, the Mario Soccer.
Mario Strikers.
Yeah.
Mario Kart, Paper Mario. Mario Party.
Mario's just like Disney. They just hand the money to them.
Basically.
They deserve it. Kind of sometimes.
Nintendo is like,
Recently they do.
But that's a great game. Highly recommend that. I'd say it's a must own for Switch owners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's pretty great.
Are the controls pretty easy to pick up for like a younger kid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's before each match you pretty much the joystick. You figure where you want to move to. And then you can either you choose your attack or your skill that you want to use.
Okay.
It seems common pretty easy as I talk about it, but when you're in there and see all the different things you can do, because the attacks, there's melee, there's blasters, with skills, you have two skills you can use, and
I'm sure you got to think about your opponent's turn as well.
Your opponents are even how the skills can play off of your two to three other team members, because sometimes you have an extra member in there where they can't attack, they can only move, and you're trying to get them from point A to point B, so you have to protect them.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really cool. Different way to play.
Gotta love them escort missions.
Yeah, that's basically exactly what it is.
So, on that note, I'm going to go ahead and switch back to PS4 owners. Sorry, Microsoft people.
I see a game off in the horizon that might just be exactly what I'm looking for. Alex, what do you know of this wonderful game?
You are right. It's on the horizon. It's Horizon Zero Dawn. No surprise to anybody at this table, I played this a lot. If you go on my Facebook page, you'll see hundreds of photos from this game.
Oh, so that's what all the photos were.
Yes.
I thought you were creeping on some girl.
I died several times taking those photos. Well worth it. What's interesting about this game is the director is actually the same director that's been with Guerrilla the entire time working on Killzone. He did pretty much all of the Killzone games that I know of.
And those were all pretty well received.
They weren't terrible games.
Yeah.
No.
Jeremiah, they were good futuristic shooters.
There you go.
Jeremiah recommended a making of video, which I did watch. What was interesting is they thought they had the game almost done. But then they hired a writer. The writer is John Gonzalez, which none of us know by name, but he actually did Fallout New Vegas quest lines. He also did Middle Earth Shadow of Mordor quests.
There is a 40-minute video where they just interview him about writing for Horizon Zero Dawn.
And
highly
then,
recommended. Wow. Really cool video.
Ben Schroeder from the newest Thief game also helped out. Essentially, in that video, it talks about how they looked at the game. They're like, this has no depth. They had to fully create a story. At one point, there were horses in the game. They completely removed horses because they wanted you to ride machines instead. Actually, they almost didn't even add writing in, which is kind of interesting.
A lot of running.
Yeah. This game is very expansive. The expansion was just as good as the regular story. It adds into it. I don't want to ruin anything for Max because he is currently playing through it.
I'm about 2 hours into it.
I've played about 2-3 hours. Yeah. I haven't finished it. You're pretty much convincing me to keep playing it and finish it.
When you add my play times together, about 110 hours, if not more.
Wow. You mean to tell me that a game that involves a story, that even throughout its development said, we need more depth, managed to squeeze over 100 hours out of it.
Wait. Yep. And it has a female as its main character? Whoa!
Two playthroughs. I did restart making a cave out of scraps. In my last playthrough, Aloy, the main character, is voiced by Ashley Burch. Again, you won't know right off the top of your head.
I knew her from Hey Ash, What You Playing?
I don't even know if that's on this list. Did you guys ever watch those?
No, I have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
A series of YouTube videos. And it was like her brother, and her dad. And every episode would start of, hey, Ash, what you playing? And it would just be just funny scenarios of her something not going right and her getting mad. Or you guys have really never heard of Hey, Ash, what you playing?
I thought you were talking about Pokemon when you said Ash.
No, yeah.
What's really funny is she's connected almost every game we've already talked about. Borderlands 2, she was voice in. Dota, which unfortunately didn't talk about, that's fine.
No one plays Dota.
Persona 4, she was actually in the game, apparently.
What character?
As soon as I find it again. Pickles, she was an attack. She did the English voice for Attack on Titan Part 1 and 2.
Ooh, fun.
Oh, hey, Ash, what's your plans? Right here. That's interesting. Animal Crossing is apparently an episode she does. She does Rise. I don't know the
last name. Oh, she plays Rise. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is that Rise with a Y?
R-I-S-E.
Yeah. She did a voice in Battleborn. RIP, that game came out at the same time Overwatch did.
Yeah, it's actually doing pretty well.
Did it?
Mm-hmm. Ever since it went.
Last I heard, it went. Yeah. She also does voices in Adventure Time, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Who's she in Turtles?
You're asking all these questions. She's April O'Neil in the video game.
Really?
In the video game for it. She does We Bare Bears, Guardians of the Galaxy Telltale series, Attack on Titan again. And she, what I remember her from is from Critical Role, the D&D podcast, also that they do live episodes. I don't think she's currently on it, but she was on last season, which is very interesting.
Would it be quicker to list what game she wasn't in?
Pretty much.
That's what it's looking like.
The other huge title that came out within the last 2 years, Life is Strange, is also her. There's an expansion with her talking, several other podcasts that cover it, so I'm not going to. I do own the game. I have it on Steam, but I didn't get into it. The other people aren't that important. JB Blanche does Rosh's voice. Rost's voice. He did Wolfenstein 2. He did Shadow of War as well. Knack, XCOM 2. Nothing super big. The other guy, though, Silence in the game, is Lance Reddick.
Oh, I know that guy.
Exactly. He was in John Wick, John Wick 2. Jonah Hex, which was a god-awful movie. he's done voices for Destiny 2, specifically.
He is Zavala, if I believe.
Commander Zavala, yeah.
Commander Zavala. He's a boring character. I'm so sorry to him. They wasted a good voice on him.
Wasted talent.
Yeah, he's done Zavala since the beginning, it says in this.
Could have potentially been good, but they don't do anything with him, so.
He does Ra's al Ghul and Beware the Batman.
Cartoon
series. Oh. There almost is not a movie or game or TV show, even Tron Uprising, that he did not voice in, it looks like.
He has a very distinctive voice.
He was in Always Sunny. But beyond just that, the music is great. The soundtrack's on Apple Music. It's 80 soundtracks because they take a third of the game's music and then change it for each part of the game because there's three giant acts in the game.
Interesting.
So they take the same song, so you're already used to it, and just change it in a way that makes you feel differently where you're at. Also, the way the environments change and how the game changes as you're playing it. It's pretty unique.
Wow. So, Alex, like I said, I played a couple hours of this. You mentioned the story of Horizon.
Yes.
Now, refresh my memory, because I want to say Horizon did something interesting where it told the details of its past through something like an audio log or something like that.
Yeah, so you pick up a focus pretty early on in the game, and you can scan audio logs as you're going through, as well as written logs. That's what fleshes out the story even further.
When you say a focus, do you mean like a discipline, or is it like
a... No, it's a device that she wears that she can see things, okay. Read things.
It sits on our ear.
It is very interesting. Spooky. Not a huge spoiler, but you do find out what happened to the world before.
Wait. Hold on. So you mean to tell me that a game that's expansive, that you sunk over 100 hours into, managed to tell you the past of what happened in its story?
Yes.
In the game...
Yes.
Through audio logs and written logs.
And I'd love to also let you know that there's maybe 15, 20 guns total with the expansion that have 2 to 3 different ammo types per gun, which makes it way better than Destiny. Yes.
And also 2 to 3 different customization slots for different weaves that you pick up from, you loot from enemies.
Yes. All the weapons can be customized to do more damage or more frost or more corruption, which is a very unique thing, part of the game.
I almost don't even believe this game is as good as you're telling me. I don't even believe it exists.
I do want to state that this was definitely my game of the year for 2017.
It was also nominated as well, correct?
Yes, it was.
So
Didn't win a single award for everything it was nominated.
Which is crap, which is honestly total crap.
Does Horizon take place on Earth?
It does. So specifically Salt Lake City.
Oh, nice.
Utah.
But, you know, Earth... I'm used to shooting aliens in the face. What's so interesting about what you fight in Horizon?
They're robots. Well, there are definitely a lot of robots.
Oh, so, it is something so you learn throughout the
story
head,
right? Is the robots are there for a purpose. You're not just there to fight them. They have different kind of like puncture points that you have to hit to take them down. Or you have to use a certain chemical or something like that.
Element.
Wait, hold on. So you mean they almost turned every enemy into a mini puzzle? That you have to solve every time you take them down?
Read them with your focus to see where their weak points are or if they're going a certain area.
Pathway, yeah. That's right where I'm at currently. Yeah.
You could also set up traps or even tie them down.
Which in the harder difficulties is mandatory.
Now I'm going to throw you a curveball.
Right.
There's no way that the bigger the enemy is...
I'm not telling you the end.
...the more puzzles you have to solve.
There actually are puzzles in there, but yes, the bigger the enemy is, the more things you have to worry about. And you'll notice that you're taking out parts of it just so you don't have to worry about that during the fight.
I'm flabbergasted.
And you're going to pick them up and use it against it.
Wait.
So it's a God of War scenario.
Enemies drop things you can use against
them. It's not into your inventory, but yes.
For like a momentary boost in options and power to do damage?
Yep.
And they look cool.
They look great. They play great. You see all the screenshots.
There's more depth to the game, is what you're telling.
Than Destiny? Yes.
Specifically, Destiny 2.
It's like video games have taken another step forward.
But in all honesty, the voice acting mixed with the music, mixed with the amazing graphics, especially in 4K, great game. Haven't played anything better than it recently.
I can honestly say I've watched Alex play it and I've got about 15 hours invested in it myself. It is by far the most breathtaking game I've ever taken part in visually, by far. It's gorgeous.
All right. Well, that's Horizon Zero Dawn. I know I started this podcast off by really ragging on Destiny and Bungie and making fun of them all throughout.
I think you sugarcoated it.
I definitely could have gone in harder.
That's what she said.
And just to be clear, I know making video games can be very complicated. It can be very hard.
We want them all to succeed.
Yeah, we want all video games to succeed. We don't want a specific console to beat the other. I hope the Xbox gets really good games sometime soon, even though I don't own one. Convince me to buy an Xbox One, but that's not happening right now. Yes. But point is, I'm a consumer. I have money I want to give you, and you have to earn that money. And if you're not doing that, well, that's not my fault.
Yeah, boom. It's your fault if you buy it, though. You buy into it.
It is my fault if I buy into it, and it's my continued fault if I continue to buy into it.
But then it's your right to go on social media and bitch about it as much as you want.
If you want to be a games as service, you have to make a good service.
That's very true.
Which games have proved that you can do that? Look at World of Warcraft. Yes. That's like probably the most highest grossing game.
Almost 13 years now?
Yeah. Like, who knows how much money that game has brought in?
$15 a month. Let's just say in the low end times by 7 million active users. That's monthly.
And that's on a low point, probably. Expansion
prices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a model that can work
when
it's implemented correctly and not like terribly.
And maybe give it some breathing room a little bit. Not every year. Maybe every 2 years. Every 3 years.
Originally,
make people like get excited and like want an expansion to come out.
There you go.
Assassin's Creed, do what it takes to make the quality, like Blizzard does. They don't release anything until it's ready. super mm-hmm. polished.
And this, yeah. when they do mess up, they fix it right away.
Yep. Typically, yeah.
I think originally Destiny did launch with a monthly subscription, right? You had to have.
It never had a subscription fee.
That was
great. One of the things they talked about on it, though, right? That they considered
it. I know we've done the whole MMO on consoles things before Destiny came out. Typically didn't end very well, but Final Fantasy XIV proved that you can pull it off if you do it smart.
Are you talking about that Matrix game?
I think so.
PlayStation 2.
Final Fantasy XIV Matrix on consoles online. Is doing good. Elder yep. Scrolls Online it's managed to make now, it work. But... Warframe is doing fantastic on consoles.
True.
I mean, you can't use the excuse that it can't work anymore. That's not an excuse anymore. You just have to go in with a plan.
Yes.
You got to stick to it.
Speaking of which, like Final Fantasy Final Fantasy XIV's been out for I don't know how many years, but they just had like their third expansion come out this year actually, and it's been still going strong.
And it's a game that when it first came out was a broken piece of garbage. But
even Square Enix, which a lot of people like to rag on, they said, we're taking it off the shelf, we're going to fix it, and put it back out there.
And fix it they did.
Yeah, it's the best MMO I've played, honestly.
Yeah, I think it's second only to World of Warcraft right now in terms of
And there's no shame size. In saying that. No shame at all in saying that.
Nothing's been able to scratch WoW since it launched.
WoW is a monster.
WoW's still. The only thing that can defeat itself, I think.
The only
thing I'd watch that fight.
That's true. If they mess up the story enough, it'll take itself down. Or they make release a 2.0 or just stop making it all together. No, I don't see it going anywhere anytime soon.
Especially because it, like, feeds its other things. Like, it feeds Heroes of the Storm, it feeds Hearthstone to a degree. So it's like a pop culture thing right now at this point.
It's true.
Yeah, well.
Well, we just recommended some great games to help you get over Destiny 2.
Yes, I think my broken heart will begin its mend. I think I can believe in gaming once again.
That's good. That
there are actually good games out there.
And none of which we mentioned here.
And there are plenty more that we didn't mention, but this was a quickie episode that we wanted to do.
Was it, though?
Not really.
An hour.
And if you have any other games you want to suggest to us to mend my broken heart, you can get in touch with us through our Facebook page, which is Expectations versus Reality. I think we're going to add podcast at the end of that, maybe.
Yes.
You can also tweet at us at @EVR_podcast.
On Twitter?
On Twitter. On the Twitters. We also have an Instagram page. It's EVS Podcast, all one word. You can also send us emails. Let us know how we're doing. Tell us if we suck. Tell us if we're awesome.
And if you want to send us a game that's worse than Destiny 2 to make Jeremiah feel less bad about playing Destiny 2, that works as well.
Bring it on. Or if you want to tell me why you love Destiny 2 and I'm completely wrong and Destiny 2 is not that bad, feel free. Let me have it. You can also get at us through email at evrpodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening.
Beep. Music.
I'm gonna leave in that first part when you go.
So people just think you're retarded.
They're not wrong.